Andrew Gribble, thanks for the time, man. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing great, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing really good. So how'd it go last night? You were the media guest on the Nick Saban radio show, the wildest hour in state of Alabama radio each week. How'd it go?
I was the media guest a couple weeks ago. I saw last night.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the picture from last night's recap, and it had you in there. I apologize.
Oh, well, you know, it was Allie LaForce, who's also an Ohio University graduate. So
yeah, big difference, though. Night. I'm sorry, Andrew. No disrespect, but major, major difference.
No, yeah, but you know, you get more Bobcats on that show, the better the ratings, I expect. So I imagine.
Yeah, that's it. That's why she gets the huge ratings. It's because she's an Ohio grad. That's what we'll go with. All right. So 2 weeks ago, you're sitting there, and that's when you're coming off of the loss. So a little different experience, I know.
Yeah, you know, I did it last year too, and it's always a unique experience because, you know, I think the thing that most people realize is that, you know, even though Saban is about as laid back as he gets on that show, gives really good answers and everything like that, I think he's still, you know, quote unquote, on at all times. You know, it's still, doing that radio show is still kind of part of the process for him. You know, he's in there, he's focused on his answers, he's got notes, he socializes with fans, and then kind of moves on to the next task, you know. So I think he treats it with kind of the Saban-like approach that you would expect, I guess.
It is, it's very different being on that side of it, though, isn't it? Because I've done it once. I've been asked two or three other times, but up until this year, I've been doing Thursday night games on television, so I have been able to do it. And the last time, I guess, was 2008, the Thursday before the blackout game. And look, I've done, you know, a lot of stuff, and you're in front of crowds, but when you're sitting there, it's a little different deal.
Yeah, you realize everyone's kind of looking at you a little starry-eyed, but they're not really looking at you at all. You know, they're kind of like, you know, they're looking at the guy next to you, and you feel kind of important with what you're doing, but realize you're not the reason that all those people are there.
Yeah, that's known as my role each week as the host of the Nick Saban television show. I completely understand. Talking to Andrew Gribble from AL.com, the Alabama Media Group. All right, you've looked at this matchup. You've broken it out a bunch of different ways, as many have. But everybody loves to point to the offense for Alabama right now. What are you seeing? What are you hearing from the Blake Sims side of things in terms of trying to get back to the form that we saw from him in the first 4 weeks of the year?
Well, you know, I just think he needs to kind of rely on what he was doing earlier. And I think, you know, first off, it starts off with, I think the players around him need to be better too. I think that the running game not working is only going to hurt your starting quarterback. And I think that was kind of the main problem against Arkansas last week. And I just think, you know, you look at some of the throws he's made that have really not being great and then could have potentially been interceptions, he simply needs to stop doing that. I think that's a quick way to gain the ire of your head coach, who, you know, when you look back on it, Alabama hasn't had a double-digit interception season since 2007. And, you know, Sims is not on pace for that, but if some of those passes last couple weeks did get caught, he would be on pace for that. So I think that's something that clearly needs to be worked on. I think it needs to maybe involve a few more people in the offense, simply because defenses know what Amari Cooper can do, so they're selling out to completely eliminate him from what Alabama does on offense. So maybe getting the ball more to DeAndre White, Christian Jones, O.J. Howard, guys like that, that will help. But I just think being back in his comfort zone in Bryant-Denny Stadium, really, I think his best games have been in Bryant-Denny Stadium this year. And if you want to rank them, his three worst games have probably been the three ones that were away from Bryant-Denny Stadium. So I think that, you know, being in a comfort zone could help. Being in front of fans that will not be as loud when he's running the offense, I think that could get him back on pace. But I think he also is still doing some very good things at the position. I think, you know, I don't know if Alabama scores any points if not for Sims' ability to scramble and find receivers with a little bit of improvising that he did against Arkansas. So he still brings that element to the offense, still brings some mobility. But, you know, when you're a first-year quarterback, you're going to have some ups and downs. So it's all about weathering the storm, I guess.
talking to Andrew Gribble from AL.com, and I don't know if it's just me. I haven't charted this. I'd be a little surprised if you had. But to me, I haven't seen him run the ball down. We talk about his scrambling, but I haven't seen him take the ball downfield, run the ball downfield with the same level of confidence that we did before he got hurt against Florida. Have you noticed that, or is that's something I'm just kind of going with as a stretch?
Yeah, I think it's certainly a possibility. I haven't really looked at it as closely, but I think that Florida game was his best, I think, running performance up to that point and when he got hurt. And clearly, you know, having an injury like that really, in the grand scheme of things, could have been a lot worse. You know, that can affect your mindset. But I think he's still, he's a quarterback and can definitely be dangerous with his feet. But I think more of the reason why I think Sims doesn't run as much as people think he should is because really he's, over the years, he's been groomed to being a better pocket passer, being told, you know, your feet are not always your first option. They're not your kind of get-out-of-jail-free card, if you will, to get out of the pocket. So I think he really is focused on making sure that there aren't better options down the field. And I think I've seen it a couple times, and, you know, this happens to a lot of quarterbacks, right? You know, where sometimes he's forced to throw instead of running when he could have had the first down running. And I think that, you know, sometimes when you're in that position, you maybe overcompensate a little bit. But I think that if they can get it to where he's maybe running 5, 6, 7 times a game, that really brings a different dynamic to the offense.
Andrew, for both of these teams, Alabama and A&M, the turnover margin is something they're a little unfamiliar with, certainly for Alabama. The miscues, both in terms of penalties and in turnovers, have been very, very tough and have, I think, been the difference in last week's game being as close as it was and the one 2 weeks ago going the direction that it did. That being said, I'll ask you the same thing I asked Gary Harris when he was on earlier. Does the elimination of the turnovers and the cutting down of the penalties equate to a formula that is good enough for this team to still accomplish all their goals, or do they need to play at another level beyond that we haven't seen so far?
Well, you know, I think that you're not going to win many games the way Alabama's been turning the ball over these last few games. So I think that one simply needs to be better. But two, I think maybe lost amid this is the last three games, Alabama's made some big plays on defense, forcing turnovers that it wasn't making those first three games. And I think that it reached a breaking point, I think, when the secondary hadn't had an interception through the first three games, and the streak dated back to the first quarter of the Sugar Bowl. And, you know, and they'd played, you know, FAU and Southern Miss, thinking, you know, these are teams they should have gotten interceptions against, forced more turnovers. But, you know, these last few games, it seems like the defense has been in better position to make big plays. You can look at the Ole Miss game, the play Cyrus Jones made. Those are the things they've been emphasizing in practice. So I think if naturally you think Alabama cannot possibly commit more turnovers on offense and special teams than it has these past few weeks. So if it can kind of limit those down and then keep making these same plays on defense, then it's going to get back to the turnover margin that it's used to. But, you know, this past week's game against Arkansas, it was the first game all year where Alabama finished with a positive turnover margin. So it's a step in the right direction, but it's definitely something that needs to be better. But it looks like, at least in these last few weeks, the defense has kind of responded to the challenge of forcing more turnovers. Now the other areas of the team need to respond by limiting the turnovers that they're giving up.
Talking to Andrew Gribble, AL.com. All of our guests appear courtesy of the Shock Top Hotline presented by Green Beverage. Coach Saban was pretty frustrated on Monday when he talked to the media. I don't know if that decreased a bit. I guess it was a little less passionate last night in his message, but I think it's still the same. You get the sense he is just trying to push this team in a different manner from the last few years, because, Andrew, this team is very different from the one he's had the last 5 or even 6 years.
Yeah, you know, I just think he's kind of trying to manage the confidence level of the team, because really, when you look back on it, he had way more negative things to say about the team after they won 42-21 against Florida than he did when they escaped with a 1-point victory against Arkansas. So really, it's just a week-by-week thing on kind of gauging the mindset of the team. And I think what he didn't want to happen, and maybe what did happen, was he saw how elated they were to kind of close out that game against Arkansas, when really the previous week they played good enough to win against Ole Miss, you thought, but they just didn't close it out. And they didn't close it out against Oklahoma. They didn't close it out against Auburn. So I think it was more kind of feeding off of that and kind of building their confidence about that particular reason on why they won, and then kind of showing the team that he's not frustrated in maybe the way some fans were about the performance. So, you know, maybe if for some reason, if Alabama had won that game 45-13 at Arkansas, we probably would have heard more negative things from Nick Saban about the team's performance, because I think that's just how things work. You know, there really is no such thing as middle ground with SEC fans, and I think that probably goes in the same mind as football players as well. He didn't want them to get too high after the Florida game, and he didn't want them to get too low after these past two games. So it's really kind of that ongoing quest to find middle ground, and I think that's a big reason why we heard the things we heard from Nick Saban this week.
I don't know about you, Andrew, but I'm always fascinated when I hear him talk about things such as he did last night, in that he actually spent some time. Look, I know he's gone to J.C. Well for swing advice for a long time, but to go to the Alabama men's golf coach and he was talking to him about how to maybe manage his team a little bit and what that golf team went through last year, and finally, I think the phrase was used, let the horses run. He says he's trying to do that with his football team right now. What specifically do you think that's going to mean, and do you think it's going to help?
You know, it's really kind of hard to peg, because I can't see him going out there and maybe not yelling at a guy for committing a stupid penalty. I don't know if it goes that far in terms of letting the horses run, but I think it's mainly just kind of gauging this team's attitude and letting them maybe be more emotional in moments in game, letting them maybe have more fun moments on the sidelines, things like that. Because I think Alabama has this kind of reputation as being almost robotic, business-like on the sidelines with the way they do things, and, you know, never getting too high or too low on the field. Now, you know, I think that's been part of, you know, the so-called part of Saban's process. He doesn't want them to get too high or too low. But now I think, you know, maybe he's okay with them showing that kind of emotion, like they did with them, you know, coming onto the field after Landon Collins' interception. You know, Michael Casagrande and I both thought, were like, wow, they could get a penalty here for this celebration. And, you know, right. The Saban of wanting the team to be robotic would have been pretty mad about that kind of moment, whereas with this year's team and understanding maybe what makes them tick more, he was okay with that. So I think it's maybe just his way of reading this team's personality. Clearly the 2012 team was fine with those expectations coming off the national championship. They managed them pretty well, even though there were some highs and lows within that season as well. And then clearly 2013's team had some issues that it wasn't able to overcome at the end. So I think he's kind of gauging what he sees with this team and you know, seeing that this might be kind of what inspires them to play better.
How thankful are you that you're not on the Florida State beat?
Yeah, I think that a lot with some of these stories. You know, I think earlier in the season I was like, well, I'm glad I don't cover Notre Dame with the stuff they were going through, and that, you know, trying to get information out of Notre Dame, it makes looking like getting information out of Alabama like an easy task. And, you know, it's there's a lot of stuff going on in college football right now. I've covered it before with my many beats before, so I can both sympathize and empathize with reporters that go through this, and it makes it that time of year where you can't spend 1 minute away from your cell phone.
Yeah, and look, I know that it was at the beginning of this week that there was a story involving, Kurt Freetag and his situation, but I guess it's a little bit of a difference when you're talking about something involving the fifth or sixth string tight end as opposed to the starting quarterback and reigning Heisman Trophy winner. Just a little bit different spotlight there.
Yeah, and it's always different when there's ongoing uncertainty. You know, there's a certain degree of certainty with what's going on at Alabama right now with Kurt Freitag, but then, you know, there's the ongoing uncertainty with Todd Gurley, Jameis Winston, things like that. So that, as a reporter, that's one of those things where, you know, uncertainty is always the worst, and the one that makes you feel like your job's never done, and, you know, you really can't ever put the computer, put the phone away at night.